Today is Tuesday, March 28th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Coming up, the chairman of the U.S. House Intelligence Committee rebuffs calls to step aside from the Russia investigation as demands grow for him to recuse himself as head of that probe. VOA's Catherine Gibson is covering the situation. She's here to talk about it. President Trump is about to announce a series of orders aimed at reversing Barack Obama's environmental mandates.
The president wants to, as much as possible, undo a lot of the regulations that he and many Republicans feel have made it more difficult for the energy industry.
Also ahead, how are you treating your fellow workers and how are you being treated by them? We'll examine that all on today's International Edition. The House Intelligence Committee has canceled all of its meetings this week as its chairman, Devin Nunes, rejects Democratic calls to recuse himself from the committee's probe into Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. Nunes met a source on the grounds of the White House before making his disclosure last week that President Donald Trump was caught up in what was called incidental surveillance, according to his spokesman Jack Langer. Langer told reporters Monday that Nunes wanted to have proximity to a secure location where he could view the information provided by the source. Previously, Nunes would not say where he met his source and has still not revealed the identity of the source. Joining us from Capitol Hill is VOA's Catherine Gibson, who has been covering this story. This is almost like a spy novel.
It absolutely is. It's been an incredible 24 hours since Nunes' spokesman, as you said there, revealed that he had met his source on White House grounds. I can tell you that the reporters here on Capitol Hill were quite surprised by that revelation.
Where does this stand now?
Well, I actually was part of a small group of reporters who pursued Chairman Nunes across the Capitol early this morning.
Saw you do it on TV.
That's right. You know, got to hang in there and follow the story where
right.
It leads. But he rebuffed all of our questions asking if he would step down. He said he didn't see any problem. He said he still had good relationships with members of his committee. I think possibly the Democratic members of that committee would have something different to say, particularly after the ranking member Schiff last night called for him to step down from the investigation.
And now we hear of two Republicans who have been rather vocal about things going on in Washington, not asking him to recuse himself, but coming out against what he's done.
That's right. Absolutely. You know, we have over on the Senate side, Senator Lindsey Graham and Senator John McCain joining a chorus of voices over here on the House side of Capitol Hill, at least on the Democratic side, saying that the time has come for an independent investigation modeled along the lines of the 9/11 Commission, where you had a bipartisan group with subpoena power that could take a look at all of these issues with a bipartisan, non-biased eye. Because right now up here on Capitol Hill, it's just an endless, relentless round of revelations, and it's really not helping bring any clarity to the Trump-Russia investigation.
Well, let's try to do that to people listening around the world. What is the focus of this? What is the target of these investigations?
Right. So it's playing off of the intelligence community's finding that Russia was involved in interfering in the 2016 election. Now, as was stated in the open public hearing last week, that didn't involve actual vote hacking. Voting systems in individual states here in the United States were not hacked. Votes were not tampered with. What happened, though, was that the release of emails, the hacked emails of the Democratic National Committee, were released to make Hillary Clinton and her campaign look bad. And, of course, earlier in the campaign, Donald Trump, before he became president, had called on WikiLeaks to release those emails of Hillary Clinton. And there are a number of other connections that are incredibly worrisome. I can't go into detail with all of them here, but it has been found again and again that there was some interference on the part of Russia, and the committee is trying to sort all of this out, clarify what happened, and whether the Trump campaign had any connections to that.
So why cancel all of the meetings this week?
Well, that's a great question, and we found out a little bit more about that this morning when the Washington Post reported on a series of letters that had gone between the acting Attorney General, Sally Yates, who was an Obama administration appointee but stayed on, as is the custom, in the first few weeks of the Trump administration. She actually notified the DOJ and the White House counsel that she had planned to testify about some of the warnings that she had sent to the White House counsel. That was regarding a story that I'm sure many listeners will be familiar with, is the National Security Advisor, General Flynn, had some conversations with the Russian ambassador and eventually had to step down because of what he had said or not said about those conversations. She was planning to testify on those warnings, and it appears that the DOJ had talked to her about presidential privilege and said that she wouldn't be able to talk about those things because of presidential privilege.
What's been the reaction to all of this, if any, from the White House?
Well, Sean Spicer actually shot down those reports from the Washington Post this morning. He called them false and said that they were entirely untrue. You know, he's speaking right now, so I'm sure he'll be asked in more detail about those claims. But he said that the White House had taken no action to prevent Yates from testifying.
VOA's Catherine Gibson. She's just down the street from our VOA studios now on Capitol Hill. Yes, that's how close we are. And Catherine, you've been working 24 hours a day, so continue and maybe you'll get some sleep in the
next
day
or so. Well, it's an important story.
Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
This is Voice of America, and this is International Edition. Andrew Palczewski joins us. I haven't had a chance to talk with him at all to find out what's trending on social media, but he'll tell us.
Well, perhaps not surprising, all of these stories that Catherine was just talking about are trending on social media. You have Sally Yates, the former assistant U.S. attorney general, who's trending accusations that the Trump administration has blocked her from testifying to the House Intelligence Committee. You see this hashtag developing, hashtag let Sally speak, and a big push on social media to have her testify to figure out what she knows. And then the flip side of that, there are some people saying that she should be indicted for leaking classified information to the press, and a lot of these partisan lines and partisan barbs that you see.
That has been the partisan divide on almost all of these issues.
Absolutely. And the same thing with Devin Nunes, the House Intelligence Committee chair, many calling on him to recuse himself from this investigation, even the hashtag Nunes must resign. But then the accusations that Democrats are trying to create a diversion by focusing on him and that they should be focusing on other bigger issues. The one thing that you see across both these stories is that the attention on these two people is bringing more people into the story and getting them more involved in it. For Sally Yates, trying to block her, people say, has brought more attention to her and increases the likelihood that she'll speak. Well, looking at Devin Nunes and what he's doing with the Intelligence Committee is going to alert more people to their investigation.
How big is this on social media? How does this story and its reaction compare to other stories and other conversations going on?
I mean, Sally Yates is a worldwide trending topic right now. It's getting a lot of attention in the U.S., but I think it is getting a lot of attention around the world. As more of this story comes out and we hear more about these investigations and how they're proceeding, it piques a lot of interest around the world, and you're getting more and more people tuning in. And through social media, they're able to do that. There's a lot of reaction going on that you're able to follow, even if you're overseas and we're just maybe a quarter mile from Capitol Hill. If you're tens of thousands of miles away, you can still follow this because it's happening in real time right in your newsfeed.
Yep, that it is. What else is trending? Give me a funny story if you got anything.
I do, actually.
There's always a funny story.
There's always a funny story out there. We have to try to keep it balanced with the serious and the lighter. This is actually, it starts as a serious story. It gets kind of funny. There was a bit of backlash on social media recently over United Airlines telling several 10-year-old girls that they could not fly because they were wearing leggings. And this created an uproar. It was a social media story from the start. It broke on social media as a traveler tweeted about it.
If someone doesn't know, what's a legging?
Legging is like a kind of tights or, you know, very tight kind of spandex, maybe workout pants, you would call them.
But, okay, yoga pants.
Something to that effect. But anyway, the United clarified and said that these 10-year-old girls.
We're just a couple of guys sitting here.
You know, leggings are not my forte. Fashion, not my forte. But these young girls were traveling on passes as family members of United Airlines, meaning that they had to adhere to a specific dress code. But United had some trouble trying to communicate that message on social media. You had a lot of celebrities coming out saying that they won't fly United anymore, saying that the airline is terrible for doing this. And then you had a bit of social media trolling from Delta Airlines, one of the big competitors here in the U.S. They tweeted out and said, "Flying Delta means comfort. That means you can wear your leggings." That tweet over has over 28,000 retweets and over 100,000 likes since being tweeted yesterday. So they're capturing a lot of this attention, too, to their benefit.
I wonder if what happened next time I go in an airplane, I wear leggings and see what happens.
No comment
whatsoever. Andrew Palczewski with us here with Social Media on International Edition. Among the top stories in the world, the House Intelligence Committee has canceled all of its meetings this week as its chairman rejects Democratic calls to recuse himself from the committee's probe into Russian interference in the election. President Trump signs executive orders today that will begin the process of undoing his predecessor's environmental legacy. The UN rights chief is calling on Iraq's military and a U.S.-led coalition to review their tactics in the battle against the Islamic State group in Mosul, warning they should not fall into what he called the militants' trap of endangering civilians. And a government spokesman says two bodies have been found in the Central Democratic Republic of Congo, and they are likely the remains of missing UN investigators. More coverage of these stories and more on voanews.com and on our VOA mobile app. This is International Edition, and this is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
A star being consumed by a black hole may be quite common, but news of stars being formed by a black hole could be something to notice. A UK-led group of scientists recently made what they say are the first confirmed observations of stars forming inside blasts of material that pour out from supermassive black holes located at the center of galaxies. As a black hole devours a star or other cosmic object, it can only handle so much of the material at one time. The remaining matter is heated and blown out from the abyss with powerful and dense winds. The ejected matter then gathers around the black hole and forms a ring of material known as an accretion disk before being pulled in by the tremendous gravity of the black hole. The scientists made their discovery as they observed the collision of two galaxies located some 600 million light years from Earth. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
We continue on International Edition. President Trump will sign executive orders today that will begin the process of undoing his predecessor's environmental legacy. Trump is going to the headquarters of the Environmental Protection Agency to issue orders suspending or canceling several Obama-era rules and regulations. Spokesman Sean Spicer calls it an effort to boost domestic fossil fuel energy production. VOA White House correspondent Peter Heinlein joins us on International Edition. Pete, what is the overall tack that the president is using here?
Well, the president wants to, as much as possible, undo a lot of the regulations that he and many Republicans feel have made it more difficult for the energy industry, in particular the coal and gas industries, to continue on with their work. These regulations, they say, have made it much more difficult for them to do business, slowed the economy down. And so he wants to, he's saying he wants to get the economy rolling again by rolling back some of these regulations. His spokesman, Sean Spicer, said unleashing the energy industry and rewriting the rules is what is going on here. This apparently is not going to be aimed at undoing the signature environmental regulation of the Obama administration, which is called the Clean Power Plan. That would take a big job. It would take a court challenge, and to survive that court challenge, Trump officials would have to prove to a court that greenhouse gases no longer pose a danger. And that's something most observers say just isn't going to fly before any judge because of the depth of the scientific evidence on climate change.
Has there been any concession from the Trump administration at all as to damage being done to the environment?
Well, no, not at all. However, it was quite interesting. Last evening, a senior White House official gave a briefing to reporters about this, about all these regulations and these executive orders that are being signed. And he was asked point blank, does the president believe in climate change? And at first he tried to hesitate. And he was re-asked a couple times, does the Trump administration believe that climate change is happening? And the answer was, yes, we, the Trump administration, agree that climate change is real. Then they asked this particular official, who can't be named because of briefing rules, do you believe this? And this official happens to be somebody who came to the administration after working as a spokesman for an energy industry lobby group. And he said, yes, I do agree climate change is a real thing. What they disagree on is how serious it is, how fast it's affecting climate change. So it's only a matter of degree. The Trump administration people are coming down, when it comes right down to it, to be not that far off the mainstream. For instance, there had been some, President Trump himself on the campaign trail had promised to pull out of the Paris climate deal that President Obama signed. Well, there's no mention of that in these executive orders, and we're told that at least two members, two close advisors to the president, including his daughter, have asked that language critical of the Paris climate deal be dropped from these executive orders, and in fact it has.
Nevertheless, environmentalists can't be happy with what's happening today.
Oh, no. There's already quite a bit of pushback, people saying they're looking at ways of challenging this in court. Not going to be easy to do, but certainly environmental groups, the Greenpeace and the Environmental Defense Fund and others have already let it be known that they're not going to take this quietly.
VOA's White House correspondent Peter Heinlein joining us. Thanks again, Pete. This is VOA.
VOA Special English, a way to learn American English and much more. Broadcasting a half hour of world news and features every day on radio. You can also find Special English on television and online at voaspecialenglish.com for 50 years, helping people understand world events and the language and culture of America.
Jazz America.
This is Russ Davis, the host for Jazz America, where each week we give you the best of jazz past and present and conversation with the music makers. You can hear the program online at voanews.com and on the air on VOA each Saturday and Sunday at 13 hours Universal Time. Join me for Jazz America and help me celebrate the greatness of a century of jazz. Listen at 13 hours Universal Time, Saturdays and Sundays, on voanews.com and the Voice of America.
This is VOA's International Edition. Do you neglect to say please and thank you? You email or text during meetings? Do you take too much credit for collaborative work? These are some of the questions Georgetown University management professor Christine Porath includes in the civility test she created. She has a new book out. It's called Mastering Civility, a Manifesto for the Workplace. She continues to focus on rude behaviors at the workplace and ways to foster a culture of civility. Faiza Al-Masri talked to the professor Porath and has the story narrated by Faith Lapidus.
Christine Porath witnessed the consequences of incivility years before she started studying it.
I thought I scored my dream job after graduating from college, and I got to work at the largest sports marketing organization in the world. So when I took the full-time job, I learned that it was a very toxic culture. And so the top leaders, kind of bad behavior, narcissism, and he had a tendency to belittle and demean people in front of others. And I just saw the effect that it had on people. You know, it was contagious, too. It affected their performance and motivation and mood throughout the day.
And civility has been on the decline, she says, for years.
When I started studying this in about 1998, it was less than 25% were affected by this on a weekly basis. And those numbers most recently hovered over 50%. Meaning more people are experiencing or witnessing you know, disrespectful or rude behavior in the workplace these days.
There are many reasons for that.
I have surveyed people asking them, why are you uncivil? And over 60% of people say, because I am overwhelmed or stressed. People are asked to do more with less resources. The other thing is technology. The fact that people communicate so often now with email and other forms of technology, it makes being civil tougher in the sense that you don't have the nonverbals, you don't have the tone of voice, and so typically there are more misunderstandings with technological communication.
To change that, a growing number of businesses have started to offer civility workshops and training sessions.
I worked with one law firm. They were asking the question of who do they want to be, and then the nice thing is they ended up coming up with 10 norms for how to show up and treat each other. They included them in granite in the lobby of their law firm.
I think a couple that really stand out for me, number 3 is we treat each other equally and with respect, even when conditions are very difficult. And then the last item in our code is we address incivility.
Stuart Price, managing partner at the law firm Brian Cave in Irvine, California, says they no longer let incivil behavior slide.
The first step for us along the way is just to address it with the person privately, just talk about what happened. You know, if the pattern continues with that specific person, we would have further conversations, and if it's particularly problematic, we might terminate them.
He says creating a civil work environment has impacted the firm in many positive ways.
A year after we had this workshop, we won Best Place to Work in Orange County in the large company category. In terms of performance, it seems to me that when we are most focused on how we treat each other, when we are most focused on our civility, that our financial performance is at its best.
Management professor Christine Porath says civility helps employees feel safer, happier, and better. The author of Mastering Civility, A Manifesto for the Workplace, encourages people to think of what they can do personally and as leaders to create more effective, positive civil cultures in their workplace. For writer Faiza El-Masri, I'm Faith Lapidus, VOA News.
And that will wrap up our program for this day. This is International Edition. Find us at voanews.com. You can like us at Facebook, VOA Now. Follow us on Twitter at VOA_IE. I'm Ira Melman. Have a wonderful day.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson recently underscored that human rights is integral to American foreign policy, noting that our values are our interests when it comes to human rights. In support of this interest, Congress mandates the State Department report every year on the human rights situation in countries around the world. These reports underscore our commitment to freedom, democracy, and the human rights guaranteed to all individuals around the world, including in Vietnam. While there has been some progress in recent years, there continue to be serious concerns about the human rights situation in Vietnam. The recently released human rights report for Vietnam highlights these continuing challenges. Among these were the Vietnamese government's continued restriction of citizens' political rights and fundamental freedoms of assembly, association, and expression. While many millions of Vietnamese retain access to the internet and social media sites, the government continued to exercise various forms of control over internet access. There was a significant increase in 2016 in the number of convictions of activists for peacefully expressing their views. There is also inadequate protection of citizens' due process rights, including protection against arbitrary detention. The State Department report highlighted problems of judicial independence and transparency, and detailed a number of instances over the past year where Vietnamese citizens were denied the right to a fair and expeditious trial. The Vietnamese government continued to constrain civil society in other ways as well, including by censoring the press and restricting the activities of NGOs. It is important that the government of Vietnam strengthen protection for human rights, religious freedom, and the rule of law. Doing so will bolster Vietnam's economy, help its people reach their full potential, and facilitate a deeper bilateral partnership with the United States.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.